Hi there. Welcome to MR Explorer. I'm Z Johnson, and I am super excited that starting this week, you're going to hear another voice on this podcast, my friend Christina Perkins. We had so much fun together recording the previous podcast episode about COVID-19's impact on research that we decided we should just keep doing this together. And so we are. We are now co-hosts of the MR Explorer podcast. And every 2 weeks, you can look forward to hearing us together exploring the world of market research, from learning to career growth to technology to whatever lies in between. All of it, we are going to be exploring together. I hope you enjoy, and I look forward to this new version of the podcast with two voices instead of just one.
Hello.
Hello.
What are we talking about today?
Today, we are going to talk about learning. I think you have been one of those people who is always looking for opportunities to learn and always looking for like new things to understand so that you can grow your career. So what are your thoughts just on the importance of learning itself?
I am a huge proponent of learning, expanding your knowledge base. I've always been a fan of saying, you know, I don't know how to do this, but I want to learn how to do this. And it might take me a couple times, but I want to learn how to do this. I'm more of a hands-on learner, but I do, I like to see those opportunities and be pretty vulnerable in them, I guess, of just saying, I don't know how to do this, but I can see how it's going to benefit me in the future. So I just need to close my eyes and jump. I've been in a few situations in roles in the past where I want to learn more about the industry. I want to learn more about research. This is not what I did in college. I learned all of what I learned on the job and have been very fortunate to be able to do so. And so I think just being able to set a goal fairly early in my career of, hey, eventually I want to get to this place, knowing that the only way I was going to get there was to be able to learn as much as I could and gain as much experience as I could. And the only way you're going to do that is to put yourself out there and say, I want to learn. If someone can just sit next to me, or if I can sit next to someone else, I just want to learn. I want to soak up. I'm a sponge. I want to soak up as much as I can.
Yeah. I'm super curious. What would you do? So, like you have short-term career goals, right? And then you have your long-term mm-hmm. career goals. Do you feel like once you hit that long-term career goal, because you were just talking about, you have this vision of like where you want your career to go and how you want to get there and the realization of how much learning it was going to take to get there.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you get there?
It's time for more goals. I mean, I think a lot of people that work in this industry are fairly type A. I think we all like to have that checklist and check things off the list. And I think it's important to, once you hit that goal, it's okay to set more. And I think if we didn't set more goals, we would start to feel lost. And so there is that. I reached the pinnacle of where I wanted to be. Now what?
Right.
Because I mean, I've hit that a couple of times. I just want to get to X.
Yeah.
So now what? You know, I'm still early in my career. I'm mid range in my career.
Yeah.
And I am not satisfied with just sitting where I am forever. But what does that look like?
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's okay to say I have 1 year, 5 year, 10 year, 15 year goals, but also sometimes those goals change because sometimes you realize maybe this isn't what I want, and where can I go from here? Or sometimes those goals require you to be changing positions or changing companies, and it turns out that your 5-year goal, you're happy. That is where you want to be. So you can't feel like a failure or feel lost when you decide, like, you know what, I'm good for a little while. Like, I don't always need to be doing X, Y, and Z every 3 to 5 years. Does that mean that you now have no goals? No. Maybe it could be, I'm fine where I am career-wise, but now I want to start a podcast, or now I want to start presenting. I want to start presenting and speaking at conferences. Or sometimes they aren't those, I have this specific set of research skills. Sometimes it's, here are my soft skills, or here are some new ways of, just, I guess, here are some new ways of using the things that I've learned throughout my career, if that makes sense.
It was just, I have found myself at some of those points where I actually at one point I reached that point of my career that I wanted to, that I had been like working towards for years, right? Finally, I got it. I got the role. I got the company, got the everything like lined up. And my mistake at that point was not creating more goals. I felt like I made it. This is where I want to be. The next thing I want to do is I don't care. And I will tell you that had a massive impact in, at least for me personally, the way that I approach my job, the way that I approach life, the way that I approach everything. I felt like I did not put as much into my job because I kind of felt like, well, this is the peak, this is the pinnacle, this is where I want to like step off the and hang tight here.
So what do you think you could have done instead? Because I agree. I have felt the same way of this is where I have been wanting to go, and I have made specific jumps here, and here to reach this point. And now I don't know what to do. And so to me, I had to give myself a lot of time to even just sit and say, okay, what is next? What is next for me? And what does that mean? So what do you think you could have done differently?
So one of the things that I have since learned is don't stop exploring the world around you. Like just because you've hit perhaps that goal in your career where you want to be, whether it's I started the business and now the business is growing and now I'm great, right? I just feel like there is always an opportunity to keep exploring other opportunities, keep exploring other job roles. Just, I don't know. To me, it feels like the world never lacks for an area to be explored. And one of the things that I definitely should have done and have done since when I've hit those points is kind of use where I'm at as a feeling of stability for me to go and start looking at what else is around me, right? So kind of like those diagrams where you have the concentric circles. Like I am in this very small circle. Now I can expand my exploration out just to the team around me and understand how they got to their roles. But then I can also expand to the next level from that and figure out like how did my stakeholders get to where they're at? What kinds of roles, what kinds of job titles, what kind of skills do they have that got them there? And I found that in the role that I have right now, even that I was just like, oh, this feels really weird to not have an idea where I want my career to go next. And I found that was, oh, that first of all, I had to realize that's fine. Just there is so much that I am learning in this particular role that I can be here for quite some time and still have so much to learn. But beyond that, it's like, don't turn off the curiosity and still be curious about, like, yes, I have this particular role at this particular company right now, but there are so many other roles, and what makes the company work, and how do we actually get all of this stuff to work together? I think if looking back, I think that's the thing that I could have done differently is just don't turn off the curiosity. Like, just because you've reached that part of your career where you're like, done, this is awesome. Like, don't stop asking questions, and don't stop just wanting to learn about the world around you.
I think, and I think I'm going to speak to my introverted friends here, because I know sometimes I get overwhelmed with going and speaking with other people, or almost having too many people around me as resources that I just don't know where to start. So I just can't. Something that I have found to be helpful to me is, once I've gotten to X point, looking back at your journey and looking at how you've got to where you are, what were the things that you enjoyed doing? Like, what really fueled how you got to where you are? Because there are so many steps, and you and I have both been in these places, I know. This is a step that I thought I needed to take to get here. And it turns out that maybe was incorrect, or I didn't enjoy it as much, which meant that maybe the next goal either came sooner or it shifted.
Yeah.
I think that goals are hard, and it's a hard topic to talk about, because a lot of people think, like, I set this goal and I need to achieve it. And that's not necessarily the case. It is. You have to have some flexibility just within yourself, because sometimes it turns out you don't want that.
Yep.
And just because you set that goal, if it makes you unhappy, like, you can adjust.
That is so true.
Yeah. I think just going back to really acknowledging and with yourself of, what did I enjoy? And if I am where I think I need to be already, and I'm okay here for a little while, maybe how can I help other people get to where they want to be?
Yeah. Who can I mentor and who can I help?
If that's something that you enjoyed doing, or if you enjoyed having a mentor, I think that's I know we're talking about learning and how we're expanding skill sets and what that looks like. A mentor is the only reason why a lot of people get to where they are. It's the only reason why I've gotten to where I am. Is I've had people that I have identified with that have helped me, and I continue to leverage them. And your mentors can change based on where you are, the phase of your life. And you never know where those relationships will lead you.
Do you have, like, a formal mentor? This is something that I have grappled with in the past, because I referred once to a friend of mine as one of my mentors, and she was like, wait, what? I am? I was like, yes, you have influenced so much of my career, and I have learned so much from you. But it was super casual, the relationship that I had with her, versus having a very, to me, what feels like a very formalized mentoring, which is like, okay, we are going to meet every week at this time, and you need to come with an agenda of things that you want to talk about, which I have just never really done, honestly. That I did, actually, I should take that back. I did it once. It was a requirement for me to do, and it just didn't feel right. It didn't sit right with me. It felt too forced. And so I feel like I don't know, maybe it's just I treat mentoring very differently than a lot of other people that I know who are like, here's my short list of people who are official mentors of mine. Whereas I'm like, I have this network of people, and I learn from so many of them, so many different ways. And some I'll lean on more heavily than others, depending on where I am in my life and what I need.
Yeah, I agree with you. I relate to that. I have a pesky little habit of turning my mentors into friends.
Right.
And now all of a sudden they're my best friend, which is good. And well, I think that I have a habit of my filtering system is fairly decent, but I tend to just say what I think and hopefully what I think is usually an appropriate way. But that usually means that I crave deeper connections, and I think that people need to understand, at least about me, more than just a professional sphere. So if you're going to give me advice on what I should do at work, you should probably know what's going on at home or what has happened in the past that has made me feel like this, has made me act like this, has made me maybe as protective of X, Y, and Z as I am. And I think by cultivating that richness of a relationship that goes beyond maybe what people would consider unofficial mentor, quote unquote, you are now my friend. Like, I now will just talk to you about things that might not involve work, but that will always involve work. Yeah, I mean, you're one of those people that, yeah, I've turned you into a friend. Sorry, not
Right.
sorry. And I think that's okay. I also have a pretty strong affinity for people that have been in similar situations to me,
Yeah.
that I have not been exposed to previously. So I tend to look for those women. I tend to look for women, and I tend to see women that are maybe the breadwinners in their family or the sole breadwinners in their family. I tend to navigate towards them because that's where I am in my life,
Right.
and that's where I've been in the past. And growing into a professional career in that way, I didn't have a roadmap for how to function. And as much as some folks want to say, well, it doesn't matter if you're the female breadwinner or the male breadwinner, like, it's the path to homemaking or relationship building, and partnership building, but there are other considerations
Oh.
and it's different. So when I find women that I can relate to in that way, I tend to hold on to them as much as I can because
Yeah.
I don't have an answer book for how I'm feeling at a particular time or how stable I may or may not feel because of X, Y, and Z that happened at work. Or, it's been a long professional journey for me. I feel like it's been long, and I'm pretty early into my mid-career, if not late into my early career.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more to go. And so
Right.
having those resources that can help me relieves my anxiety about that.
Yeah, you make a really good point about like especially having people at with similar situations at different points along that path.
Yes.
Because that has been something that for me has also been really, really important to have is understanding, okay, so this person is mid-career. I want to learn. I still want to learn from them a ton about, where do they want to go? Because again, sometimes even just asking, so what are your career plans can help spark something, right? But having someone who is later in their career is super helpful for me because it's like, oh, okay, so what steps did you take to get there? Like, how did you end
Exactly.
up with that role? How did what experiences did you have that made you want to get there, and what have you learned along the way?
What were some of the best resources that you used? Or, what are the challenges that you faced on the way? Or if you could change one thing, what would it be? All of those things. I think for me in particular, not having crossed the parenthood gap,
Yeah.
having the connections that I have where I know women and have tagged them as mentors that are early in their parenthood, or
Yeah.
mid in their parenthood, or, you know, are further in their careers. Like, those different mentors that I have are for very specific reasons. And I want to say I was strategic about it, and I think I maybe was, but I think it's also just, I just want to learn, and I just want to hear about different things that I could be doing to help further my growth in so many different aspects of my life, including my professional one, that it just happened. It just
Yep.
happened that I was craving X relationship, and I found someone that could help me with that.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I'm just realizing how much of where we want to go in our careers impacts our personal lives, right?
For
Like,
sure, yes.
and I think that's something that we don't necessarily always acknowledge and we don't necessarily always appreciate is the decisions that you make about where what you want to do in your career or how you want to even get there in your career. That's going to impact so much else in your life. And I think that might be why, for me, mentors are just friends that I learn from. Right? It's just people that I know I can go to with certain situations because I have seen that they have successfully navigated those kinds of situations. And I want to learn from them. What can I do? How can I respond in a way that supports where I want to go, doesn't burn bridges, that kind of thing. But in the process, I have learned a lot that has impacted my personal life. I remember one of my very first co-workers and mentors gave me this piece of advice once. I was newlywed. I'm working working long hours. I was also early career, very first job out of college kind of a thing. And this lady stopped by my desk, saw that it was like, I don't know, 6 o'clock in the evening, and I'm still, there is no sign of me shutting anything down and getting ready to go home. And she was close to the end of her career. She was close to retirement. And she just looked at me and she said, "If there is one thing I wish I could have told myself when I was younger, it was work to live, don't live to work." And she said, "I lived to work and I have missed so many opportunities because of it." And it was so powerful to hear that so early in my career because there have been times where you feel like, especially early in early mid-career, you feel like you have to spend all the hours to show and learn and grow and prove yourself. And I had found it really hard for me to set those barriers of what time can you reach me and what time are you going to talk to me and what time will I reply to you? That now, later in my career, I can look back and say, oh, I wish I had done more of that boundary setting and realizing that it was not going to impact me negatively if I left at 5 p.m. instead of at 7 p.m. from my job so that I could get home and spend some time with my family.
I mean, we just never get that time back, right?
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
so you need to make decisions. Like, I mean, what we do is important. If it wasn't important, we wouldn't be doing it. I think both you and I need to feel purpose in what we do every day and what takes so much time away from our families, away from our friends and our relationships. We need to know that what we're doing matters. But we're also not saving any lives,
Right.
typically, usually.
Yeah.
And so I've never, I don't think I've ever saved a life with my research, which maybe is a goal of mine. But you know, just knowing that we're not going to get some of this time back.
Yeah.
So setting your own boundaries, it's okay. Because
Yeah.
I bet that a lot of folks out there, your former colleague, they look back at the end of their career or at some point in their career and they say, I wish I would have done that different. I wish someone would have told me that it was okay to just go and have dinner with my husband.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to identify the people who will give you those truths.
I agree. I think there's a lot of misconceptions, and maybe they are true, of, who to trust and when to trust them, and do they have pure intentions? Fortunately, I haven't been a part of any of those missteps, but at least not in my professional career. I consider that very fortunate, but I do see how there are some professions out there, some industries, some environments where that might it might be harder to find those resources, those personal resources for yourself.
Yeah. Well, this conversation took a total different turn than I
It
expected.
did. I don't really know what topic we're on now. Cool. I'm okay with it.
It's just it's interesting to me because we were starting off with, how important is it to keep learning? And I think it speaks a lot to the type of learning that we all can benefit from, right? Which is constantly evolving yourself and not just yourself as a career self. I think that's like when I was thinking about this earlier, just the topic of learning, I was so focused on the career learning, right? Like hard skills, how do you learn all these things? But I think it gets overlooked quite a bit how important the soft skills are. And in this case, I think both of us are using the term soft skills as those things that, like communication, how do you communicate with people better? How do you put a story together better? How do you navigate a workforce and identify people who can help you and who do you lean into? And even things like, how do you successfully climb a career ladder and do so in a way that is going to allow you to still feel true to yourself and allow you to have that integrity and but still get you where you want to go? Because I have seen people who, everyone has different routes to where they're going in their careers. And there have been times where some of my soft skills have been learned by seeing what people have done and saying, I never want to do that. I never want to be that person.
Agree. And I think it's important to realize, or I guess remember, for those who might be in a tough spot given the current employment environment out there with COVID-19, is that there are so many more people who are willing to talk to you right now that if you were to reach out and say, "Hey, I have always, I've seen your LinkedIn posts for years, and this is the environment that I'm in right now. Would you be willing to sit and chat via Teams, Zoom, whatever communication tool you use, for 20 minutes?" There are so many people out there right now that just want to help. And your mentors are available right now. Even if there's someone that, you haven't ever called them a mentor. I don't know if I've ever called you a mentor. They are willing to talk to you right now, and they might not have a job for you, but they are going to tell you some of the things that they have done in the past, because more people than you realize have been laid off before. More people than you realize have been terminated from positions than you know. And all of them have pointers, tips, things you can be doing in this time. There are webinars that are going on right now. I've seen recruiters, they've been posting all kinds of things on LinkedIn of just, "Hey, I'm having a webinar of how to update your resume right now. Here's a link and ask me any questions you want. This isn't related to the company I currently work for. It's just as a recruiter, not as a recruiter for X, Y, and Z." Like, there are just so many resources out there. And there's LinkedIn Learning. There's Coursera is a good resource for some relatively inexpensive coursework that you could be doing and learn some new skills. Take a new statistics class, take some social science work, research work. Like, there are so many people that are going to have this gap in their resume that
Yeah.
the best thing that you can do right now is one, grieve and
Yeah.
lean into the uncomfortability that you are facing right now
Yep.
and see what you could be doing during this gap,
Yeah.
which might end up being just like functioning as a human being, and that's okay too. But
Yep.
if there is
Absolutely.
something that you want to, that you've always wanted to expand your skills on that you haven't had the time to do, now is the time to do it. If you
Yeah.
feel comfortable doing so.
Yeah. And I would say that network that you talk about, it is not just now that those people are available to talk to.
Agree.
When I found myself at a turning point in my career, it was okay, suddenly I have learned something about myself. There are skills that I want to develop. There are things that I want to do in my career. I did something which I wish I had done many times before, and that was start to put time on people's calendars, just even sending a note via LinkedIn to some of the people that I have met over the course of my career, and just say, hey, this is what I'm thinking of doing, where I think I want to go next. I don't know what that's called, and I don't know what that looks like, and I don't know how to even find that. Like, how do you look for that kind of a thing? What am I looking for? And it was incredibly, incredibly supportive and humbling to me how many people, in fact, I can't think of a single individual that I reached out to who was not helpful in suggesting, oh, I think you're looking for this kind of a role, or oh, I think you're looking for, I think you want to position it a little bit differently. Like, here's a couple of things that I can see of what you're looking at. If you're looking at this thing, go this direction. If you're looking at this thing, go this direction. And it wasn't, most of the time it wasn't, oh yeah, here are job openings. It was just helping me put words to what I wanted in my vision and put the right words together so that I knew how to package it correctly to take it to where that vision was going to become reality. And I was just so, like, for me, that was something that was so outside of my comfort zone to do, but it was so incredibly validating and humbling, and I remain incredibly grateful to every person who replied to me during that time and gave me advice and was able to just help me understand what the paths were that would be available to me for what I wanted to do, right? Because it was like, I don't even know if this is a thing. I don't even know if anyone has ever done this before, or where it would exist if they have. And that is, it was cool to realize that the people that are in your network are always available, always, always available. Whether it's COVID-19 or it's some other situation that you're in where you're looking for the next opportunity, or you need an opportunity, these people in your networks are just, they're just so kind and so, and just ready to help out. And that's what I think that's one of the things I love about this industry as well, is I have found so many people in the insights industry who are just open and willing to help with whatever question you have. And I think it's amazing.
I agree. I think that if when you surround yourself with really great people, those people typically also surround themselves with really great people. So even if your network doesn't have the person that you might need to connect with, they will connect you to that person.
Absolutely.
Like this can
Yes.
be a 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon situation.
Totally. And it's, yeah, I found that too, even for the hard skills. Like, I remember when I was trying to figure out, like, how am I going to fill in this statistics piece in my portfolio? that I felt like was just missing, right? And it was really cool because I had people who, there was one recruiter, in fact, who, when I was starting to look to get back into the market research industry, she called me up and she's like, "You have such an amazing skill set. There is a glaring gap in your skill set. And my recommendation is for you to get to where you want to be, do whatever it takes to fill in that gap." And it was the statistical analysis.
Mm-hmm.
I had not ever had the opportunity to use SPSS. I had never really felt comfortable with the analytical side of things. I could do enough to get by. But in my work history, it was quite evident that that was not something that I had ever needed to do. And so it was something that I loved the fact that this, and I had the opportunity to tell her about how life-changing her advice was to me. It was like, okay, that was one thing that I started to look for in new roles, was how can I build out this statistical analysis piece in my own career? And what roles do I need to take, and what things do I need to ask for during interviews to be able to make sure that I start to fill that piece in my career?
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really cool because I had tried various things, and SPSS is such an expensive piece of software. And it was like, I need to figure this out. And I ended up in a role where it was acknowledged that I could lean into the skills that I already had built, but also take some time to learn how to use SPSS and how to do the statistical analysis that I needed to do. And it was fantastic. It was such a cool role for me to have, because of the flexibility that it gave me to start to build out that part of my career.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it takes a lot to acknowledge the holes that might be in your resume, and it's a whole nother personal soft skill set to say, what can I do to build that? And just that self-acknowledgement. But while I'm interviewing for other roles, how can I acknowledge upfront, here is something that I might not have the current skill set to do, but here is something I've done in the past that will show how quickly I can learn it.
Right. Right. Or even that I'm willing to learn it.
I'm willing to learn it. Yes, agree.
Yeah, because I have heard so many managers who are just like, I just need someone who is willing to learn it. Like, some of these skills are very teachable skills, but they're not teachable to people who are unwilling to be taught.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I will admit, though, one of the things that I personally occasionally struggle with is when I come across something that doesn't come to me easily, like,
yes,
you know, that it's like, I don't learn it as quickly as I expect to, because I have been so lucky in life that so many things that I have wanted to learn, I have managed to learn pretty quickly, and they have come fairly easily to me. But there have been times where there are things that are really difficult to understand and really needs to take time. And I personally have found myself being like, if I can't get it as soon as I want to get it, then I'm just going to move on and not bother anymore, because it's making me feel like a failure, and it's making me feel really inferior. Like, why can't I get this?
Yes. I don't know. I don't know many people that wouldn't say yes to that. And if they would say, no, I'm good at everything, it probably means that they should probably step out of their comfort zone just a titch. But I think the number one thing that has helped me get through some of those periods is going and asking people that it does come naturally to. If you have other folks in your org or in your department or in your company that you know does something similar and they're very good at it, ask them if you can hang out with them for a couple of hours and see some of the tricks of the trade, how you can make it go by quicker, or if there's one piece that you're missing in learning how to do this thing, it could be a matter of just you didn't know a shortcut that you could do in a program that would make your whole life easier, or any of those things, or a simple like, hey, when you see this symbol, this is what that means. And now all of a sudden everything clicks, but you don't know to ask until you don't know what to ask until you're speaking with someone and you ask for help. Like everyone around you is a resource. You just have to be okay with tapping those resources. And most people are okay being a resource. Your success dictates their success if you are all part of one living organism, which most of us are.
And I think it also takes a certain amount of vulnerability, right? And
Totally.
being vulnerable. I am not getting this at all. What are you talking about? Like, how help me figure this out? Something just isn't clicking.
And there is
I have a
something to be said too of trial and error, and I'm going to try to get through this, or I'm going to try to learn on my own, and I think that's okay sometimes. And I do think though sometimes it's okay to ask for help. And that's fine. And people are open to that.
They absolutely are. We don't always have all the answers all the time. Doesn't that suck?
I
It would be
mean,
nice.
I'm okay with it. I'm okay not knowing like 100% of everything right now, but that will change. I just have to ask more people for the answers, and then I'll have all the answers. Get excited.
You keep expanding
I'm
that
ready. I'm ready. Challenge accepted.
I think we're gonna end up relabeling this just talking about soft skills. And
I
I
like
think the
soft
next time
skills and networking, how to utilize your existing skill sets.
Yes, and I think the next time that we talk, we should definitely talk about what we intended to talk about today,
I think we should.
which was the hard skills and how to find those resources. Because, as you and I both know, that is a whole other can of worms that I think needs to be addressed
I
because
agree.
there is so much out there.
Okay, deal. I'll talk about hard
All
skills.
right. Cool. We'll talk to you
Okay,
later.
awesome. Thanks, Z. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of MR Explorer with Christina Perkins and myself, Z Johnson. We look forward to sharing more with you in the future.